It is my honor to introduce to you my friend, Pastor Niall Bulkley III. I've known Brother Bulkley's dad for good night, 20-some years, I'm sure. I've lost count. I knew his daddy a long time ago, and his daddy was one of the finest assistant pastors America has ever had. I mean that. True, blue, principled, loyal man of God. And years ago, I got introduced to Brother Niall just a few years ago, honestly, but I've known of him through his dad. And just a couple few years ago, we met each other. And let me say this, Brother Bulkley comes through a long history of preachers in his family. How many years back did you say? Over 400 years, there's been a Bulkley somewhere in the ministry. I can't say that. Not many can. But you can imagine when you grow up in the ministry. Here's a man that's 46 years old. He's been in the ministry 46 years because he was born into it. He literally has. You've seen a lot of people hurt your family. Seen a lot of people hurt you. He doesn't always trust real easy, but he's, for some reason, he and I became quick friends, and he began to trust me a little, and from time to time would call, and we would talk and advise, and every once in a while I've called him to get his advice. You say, why? Because he's a wise man, and I respect him. Last November, my wife and I flew down, and I preached for him, and then that's when I threw you to the wolves the first time. said, sorry, I'm leaving. Take care of it. But seriously, I'm so glad that they came. You ladies, I know, were blessed by his dear wife yesterday. Can I tell you something? They're not performers. They're real Christians. They're real godly people. If you've noticed, any of the friends that I've brought here as my friends, they're not performers. They're the real deal. These are people that live by faith. They live the ministry. They're true to that book right there. Above all else, true to that book. And I can promise you this man is true to that book. He's separated. A lot of people have separated from him because of that. And I get it. Trust me. I live that way too. But guess what? I didn't lose anything when people separate from me for that right there. They weren't with it. They're not with us anyway. They're going to flop out some other time. Might as well get rid of it early so I don't have to carry it along. Amen. And that's how I look at it. But here's a younger man, middle-aged man, because at 57, I'm still middle-aged. I plan on living to 115. Amen. But here's a younger man that is honestly, true blue, dyed in the wool, fundamental on that book right there. And that's what I respect about him in many, many ways. Man, just long line. Don't you think with 400 years of preachers in your lineage, don't you think you could get crosswise a little bit here and there? Get a little tired of it? Here's a man that's passionate about it. I wish you could see his church. It's a miracle church like this one. They were meeting and then God gave them a property and a building. They cleaned it up. They had another building, and they turned that into like a little guest house for preachers and things. And then while I was there, they had been given another building that they moved for a fellowship hall and Sunday school space. And it's just exciting. And God just keeps dumping it down on them because they keep doing it the right way. And I respect Brother Bulkley for that. Brother Bulkley, come preach to us today.
All right. Power? Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, you may be seated. I'm glad to be here this morning. Somebody asked me if I was nervous, and I said no more nervous than I ever am because I have a truth that I want to get across this morning, and I want God to use me.
Amen.
And I am nervous about that. I do appreciate your pastor. Your pastor and his wife are very gracious, extremely gracious. I appreciate the hotel room. I appreciate the baskets. It was very nice. I will say, he's up here talking about his anniversary. I heard of a guy that was married for 49 years, and he was about to celebrate his 50th year anniversary. He was so excited, and he told his people, he said that he took his wife to Hawaii on the 25th anniversary. And they said, wow, that's amazing. And they said, it's amazing you've made it that long. He said, yes. He said, I'm going back to Hawaii on the 50th. And they said, you're going back? He said, yes, I'm going to pick her up. They made it. They made it. But anyway, we are glad to be here. It's not happening with me either. I need help, and I need lots of help. Anyway, if you'll take your Bible and turn to Psalms chapter 34 this morning, I surely hope that you will listen and pay attention to the Word of God. I will say this about your pastor. Your pastor's been my dad's friend for many, many years. And if you study Scripture, a young man usually gets off if he doesn't listen to the biblical older men. Now, I'm not talking to saying every elderly man is right. The Bible says in righteousness. It has to be in righteousness. In the book of Proverbs, it states, and I'm paraphrasing, but it says, it talks about that to your own friends and to your father's friends to be faithful. Okay, and I'm paraphrasing there. But I am a young pastor. I've pastored for 8 years, and there is times... I can't always go to my father because he's an assistant pastor. And sometimes you can't, as a pastor, you know things that you cannot tell other people. Mm-hmm. And so one day I needed some help, and I was thinking, who in the world am I supposed to call? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And God brought your pastor to my mind. And so I called him, and I think that is when the friendship took off, I guess you would say. Yes. That's when it took off because our hearts were knit together, I believe, at that time. And I have learned quite a bit. He is right. I have been in the ministry I'm almost 46, so I've been in the ministry that long. I have watched my dad. I've watched the hurts. But I've also watched the joy. He talks about the hurts, but there's a difference between happiness and joy. And in Christ, there's joy. Amen. In the world, there is fun for a season.
Yes.
But sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Yes.
Sin is fun. You wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. It is fun, but you pay for it.
That's right.
But in Christ, there's joy. Amen. And so, yes, there is hurts being in the ministry. There is people who walk away, and there's lots of tears. But the joy that comes...
Yes, sir.
Better stop it, woman. The joy that comes outweighs it all.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It outweighs it all. I'm going to be in Psalms chapter 34 this morning. Let's look at verse number 8, if you would. The Bible says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you bless this morning. Dear God, please guide my mouth. Please help me to say those things you want me to keep my mouth shut where I should. Lord, I'm asking you to use me in spite of me. Thank you for loving us, Lord, in spite of us. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." I was looking this morning. We have a Golden Corral down where we live in Texarkana. Now, I looked this morning, and I believe there's one here. Is that correct? I think it's on Fox. What is it? Fox?
Used to be.
Okay, used to be. It's gone. Okay. But how many of you know what I'm talking about, Golden Corral? You know what I'm talking about. Okay. My wife and I were at Golden Corral. This has been a couple months ago, but we were at Golden Corral, and I was standing there looking at the food, and I came to a label there, and it said hominy. And I thought, oh, that is awful. That is just terrible. I looked at it and thought to myself, oh, that is awful. It's terrible. Okay? Hominy. When I was in college, we weren't supposed to go into people's houses, but I did. But we went into this person that rode the bus's house, and the lady, she was a Hispanic lady, she made hominy soup. And she poured us a big bowl of hominy soup, and I was having a hard time getting it down. Every time she turned around, my bus captain was sitting beside me, and I'd be like, "Do you want some of this, and he said, pour it in my bowl. She'd turn around too fast. Anyway, I was having a rough time with the hominy soup, but I was standing at Golden Corral, and I looked at that, and the Holy Spirit brought this verse to my mind, and the Bible says, taste and see. It does not say, see and taste. Human nature is human nature, not spiritual nature. Human nature is we see something before we believe it, or we see something before we taste it. We see something before we want it. In fact, the Bible talks about the lust of the flesh. You see something, you want it. God wants us to totally flip that, and he wants us to taste it. And when you taste it, then you'll see it. And I'm going to explain that this morning, okay? I've been out knocking doors before, and I've given the gospel hundreds of times. And there's been a couple times when I've been giving the gospel that I will go through the whole plan of salvation. And then as I'm looking at the person, I said, can you believe that? And they said, that makes no sense. That makes absolutely no sense. Now, if you think about it, in human nature, if you think about it, there was a man who came down, lived 33 and a half years, who never sinned. I'm sorry, human nature, that makes no sense. Okay, this same man went to the cross and suffered for me because I am a sinner. Human nature, that makes no sense. This person that I was witnessing to, they said, that just makes no sense. And I said, but that's what the Bible says. They said, that makes no sense. But that's what Scripture says. I said that, and they said, that makes no sense. And I said, well, let me ask you this. The Bible says all you have to have is the grain of a mustard seed. Would you believe it with the little bit of faith you have? And they said, well, yes, I would do that. And I said, are you willing to believe that it's not of works? And they said, well, yes, I could see that it's not of works. I can't pay for my own sin, so I can see that. But him paying for it freely, I just don't get that. And I said, well, would you be willing to trust him by faith? And I've had them say yes. So we'll bow our head, we will pray, and I've actually had them, as soon as they said amen, look at me and say, I understand it. That makes total sense now.
Sir.
Do you know why? Because they tasted and then they see. Mm. Faith comes and then they see. Okay? Once you take your Bible and look at Romans chapter, I use the scripture a lot, okay? Because it really doesn't matter my opinion. It matters what the scripture says. Romans chapter 14, and let's look at verse number 23, if you would please. Romans chapter 14. Verse number 23. The scripture says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is, what does the scripture say?
Sin.
Sin. Okay? So the Bible says that the Christian life, we're supposed to live by faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, what most Christians, many Christians do, this is what they do. And I've been in it long enough to know. They trust Christ as their Savior and they stagnate. They don't go any further than that. And it's amazing to me they can trust Christ to take them to heaven, but they can't trust Christ to pay their bills. They can't trust Christ to take care of their children. They can't trust Christ when it tells them how to rear their children. They can't trust Christ in all the other things and how to have a husband and wife relationship. They can't trust Christ in all those things, but they can trust him to go to heaven. And they want to see everything else. And God says, no, it doesn't work that way. I want you to taste what I tell you. And after you taste it, then you'll see what I'm talking about. You're going to see if you'll just taste. So, point number one this morning, all of the Christian life is faith. Faith is not just salvation. Faith is step by step. In fact, the Bible says faith to faith. Faith to faith. So I want you to pause for just a second. I want you to think about yesterday. Your life yesterday. Did you live it in faith? Or did you live it in sight? Well, that's great. Amen. I'm glad somebody did. Okay. Or did you? That's okay. I'm totally fine with it. Good deal. I'm glad to hear it. Okay. But did you live it by faith or did you live it by sight? Because the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. For the Christian life, it's not just faith at salvation. The next step is faith. The next step is faith. The next step is faith. Okay. Follow me. Faith is God's command. Faith in God's commands. Faith he will keep his promises. God says to rear your children a certain way. Honestly and truly, it doesn't make sense. In fact, the world says do it right the opposite. The world says, the Bible says if your kids do something wrong, that there's punishment in that and you're actually supposed to spank. Scripture talks about it. The world says don't do that. And it doesn't make sense. But if you do it, when they're old, they will not depart from it. You have to taste first, obey God's promises before it makes sense. We want to make it make sense, and then we'll obey. That's why when I was growing up, if my daddy told me to do something and I asked why, I got my tail end busted. Because I wasn't allowed to ask why, I was allowed to obey. And then the older I got, then he started explaining why he did those certain things and the principles behind it. But obedience comes before the scene. So faith in what my dad was telling me comes before the scene of why I was doing what I was doing. My sons growing up, I trained them like my father trained me according to scripture. And they look at me and say, that doesn't make any sense, Dad. Why are you telling me to do that? You can't run with this person over here. Why? I like that person over there. No, you can't run with them. Why? Because I have principles from scripture that tell me that you can't run with that person. Then as they get older and take the principles from scripture, all of a sudden their eyes are enlightened and they see after they've tasted. A child is trained and trained and trained and trained and trained and trained and trained. And our prayer is that they'll take the principles and make them their own. When they make them their own, all of a sudden a light bulb comes on and they see exactly what they've been taught all these years that did not make sense, all of a sudden makes sense. Because you have to taste and then see. Look at Romans chapter 10 if you would. Romans chapter 10, and let's look at verse number. Romans chapter 10, and let's look at verse number 17. Now, this is very, very important. He said, Brother Buckley, how do I grow my faith? Okay? Romans chapter 14, verse 17. So then faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the what?
Word of God.
Do you know why many Christians stagnate? Because they don't read their Bible.
Right.
They do not read their Bible. Now, if I was, now I hope to God y'all read your Bible, but honestly, you can go and study statistics. Statistics will tell you most Christians do not read their Bible. Statistically. And we wonder why we stagnate in the Christian life because we're not reading our Bible.
Right.
So think about it this morning. Did you, every day this week, were you in the Word of God? Were you studying the scripture? You say, why? Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And scripture tells me that my faith grows by hearing the word of God. Okay? I have to drive to work. I have a secular job. And I have to drive to work an hour every day. And I have these CDs that have the Bible on them. And I can put these CDs in. And in an hour's time, you'd be surprised how much you can listen to. But I can listen to the word of God. Do you know there is a difference between reading and hearing? There is a difference. The Bible says hearing the word of God. In fact, in Bible times, they would take the parchments, they would roll them out, and the people would all congregate, and they would stand up also. They would all congregate, and the high priest would sit there and read the scripture. They would hear it. The Bible says our faith is grown by hearing the scripture. You said, Brother Buckley, I want my faith to grow. Then go read your Bible. I want my faith to grow. Then come to church and hear the preacher preach from the Word of God and hear the Scripture. And as you hear the Scripture, this is what happens. You see in Scripture that God can do it. You see in Scripture that God did do it. You see in Scripture that God will do it. And then you see in Scripture that God does not lie. So if it's a promise in Scripture, then I can grab onto that promise. I grab and I hold onto that promise. And I know God will do His part as long as I obey what He says to do.
Yes, right.
But God doesn't show me the blessings. He doesn't show me the outcome until I taste it.
Right.
My wife cooks this, it's called split pea soup. And the first time, you haven't had my wife's split pea soup, okay? That's exactly right. You haven't tasted it, you've only seen it, okay? So, she has a split pea soup. And the first time she ever cooked it, it's lime green. It's lime green. The first time she ever cooked it, and every time since too. But when she cooks it, it literally turns into puree. It just falls totally apart and turns into mush. And so she got this recipe and she tried this. She had this split pea soup and she cooked it. And then when she was done, she said, "Hey, I want you to try this." And I went over there and I looked at it and said, "Well, I can't tell you what I said, My wife's like, well, hang on just a second. I can't tell you what I told her it looked like, but it did not look good. And I said, I don't think I want to try that. And she said, no, I want you to try this. And I said, no, I see what it looks like. And I know what it looks like. And I don't want any of it. And she said, well, this is what we're having. And I said, yes, ma'am. But anyway, she said, this is what we're having tonight. Would you please try this? I said, okay. So she took a spoon and I'm thinking, oh, and my sons are all, I have four sons, and my sons were standing there going, oh, dad. Because around our house, if it's put on the table, you eat it. If you gripe about it, then you ain't eating.
Amen.
See you later, okay? Eat what mama cooked. But anyway, but there is times that dad gets to trump that. Rarely, okay? I've been married 23 years and you don't do that. But anyway, I said, okay, I'll try it. So I took a spoonful of it and I thought, man, this is amazing. It was absolutely great. I love it. It's absolutely wonderful, but it looks like baby food. Literally, it looks terrible. It looks like something that comes in a jar that stinks that they give the kids. And I never have understood that. We tell our kids, this is good for you. Okay. My mother used to tell me that carrots fixed your eyes. It didn't help me any. But anyway, but my thing is, I looked at it and said, no, I don't want a part of that. God says in Scripture that every part of your life is not to be a scene, it is to be a faith. I go taste it, and then God said, as soon as you taste it, I'm going to show you how good I am. I'm going to show you how good I am. Every promise in Scripture, He says, taste this. And literally, we look at it and say, that looks like baby food. I don't want none of that. And God says, taste it. We say, no. God says, here's a promise. I want you to do this. And you say, nah, that doesn't make sense. Well, if you'll train up a child, if you'll do your marriage this way, if you'll do your finances this way, that doesn't make sense. That's not what the financial guy over here said. No, that doesn't make sense. Tithing, that doesn't make sense. Give 10% and you'll have more. That doesn't make sense. No, I'm not going to do that. That makes no sense whatsoever. Don't. And God says, taste it and you'll see.
Yes.
You taste it, then you'll see. And as soon as you taste it, then you're like, wow, this is amazing. This is absolutely great. This is wow, I'll take some of that. And then your sons look at you and say, do we have to taste it? Yeah, get over here and taste this. This is good. Okay, and that is what you're teaching your children, what the preacher's teaching you, what the Sunday school teacher is teaching, what they're doing is what Paul said in Scripture, follow me as I follow Christ. You know what Paul was saying? He said, I've already tasted it and I've already seen. Now I'm begging you, here it is, would you please taste it? Here's the pea soup. It looks nasty, but I'm telling you, it's awesome. Taste it. And if you'll taste it, then you'll come along with me and you'll say, man, this is awesome. Living the Christian life is great.
Yes.
The world looks at us and says, those are some crazy people. You're exactly right. But we have the joy of the Lord and you have a temporary happiness.
Amen.
I have joy in Christ. Okay? Follow me. Look at Hebrews chapter number 6, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter number 6. How many of you want to please God? I want to please God, okay? So you trust Christ as your Savior, and then the Bible says that without faith it is impossible. Look here, I'm getting ahead of myself, but look at Hebrews chapter 11. What chapter did I tell y'all? Sorry, let's go to 11. 6 is good too, by the way, though. Hebrews chapter 11, but I'm not there right now, okay? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, okay? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. So I went to God in faith. I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was 5 years old. My grandfather got up. I was in his church at the time. He preached a sermon on hell, scared me to death. He described the worm that dieth not. He described the constantly falling. He described the flames that are black, that are not, there's no light there. It's totally pitch black. He described the gnashing of teeth. And at 5 years old, I'm sitting out there thinking, oh my word. And he said, and if you're a sinner, that's where you're going. Well, I thought to myself, okay, my mother told me to clean my room. And I was smart. I really was. I was genius. I took all my toys and pushed them underneath the bed. But I wasn't smart enough to pull the blanket down. Okay? So my mom walked in. She looked and she said, you're getting a spanking. I knew I had lied. I went home that night and my dad put us to bed. And I got up later because I literally thought that if I'd closed my eyes in and went to sleep, I believed that I would have died and went to hell that night. I was scared to death. I was scared. I went and talked to my dad. We bowed beside my bed. He told me about Jesus, and I trusted Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
Faith started right then. But faith hasn't ended. Right. I've been saved 41 years, and I've done a lot of wrong things in 41 years. But every time I've tasted, it's always tasted good. Now, you listen to me very carefully. I've hurt a lot in 41 years. I've had a lot of friends walk away. I've had family members that I love with all my heart that have walked away. But I can't leave. I can't leave because I've tasted. And it tastes good. The Bible says it's impossible, absolutely 100% impossible to please God and live a life by sight. You want to look at your Bible and say, prove it to me. Can't prove it to you. You've got to taste it first. You tell your preacher, you prove to me that this will work out. Can't prove it to you. You've got to take it for yourself first. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's faith first, and as soon as you taste it, then all of a sudden, you see it. This makes total sense. This makes absolutely total sense. Years ago, my wife and I, we had four little munchkins. This is when they were little bitty. My youngest now is 15. Thank God. Got two out of the house, one that is on skates sliding out, and one just a few more years. But anyway, the boys were little bitty, and we went to a restaurant. And as soon as we walked in, I always look, well, I feel kind of naked today because I'm not packing. I couldn't, anyway, we're traveling. They don't allow you to do that. But anyway, where I'm from, everybody's packing. So we walked in. So any place I go, I'm constantly scanning, I'm watching. So we walk in, and I noticed as soon as we walked in with our four little stair steps, I saw all these elderly, they went, oh. We went to a restaurant, and they're like, oh. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because you do the same thing. So these kids walk in, you're like, oh, we were going to have a quiet meal. This is so, oh, those kids just walked in. Well, I set my kids down. We ate a normal meal. Everything was totally fine. And I had this elderly man come over, and he said, I just want to shake your hand. He said, this is amazing. He said, my wife and I were very upset when y'all walked in. And really upset with the waitress for sitting y'all beside us. But your kids, they acted right. And they said, that is just, I just don't understand why. I mean, how did you get your kids to do that? And I looked at the man. I said, he was an elderly man. And I said, sir, let me ask you a question. Did you get your backside busted when you were a kid? He said, oh, my dad tore me up all the time. I said, so does this dad. But it doesn't make sense. Because the United States now says, their schools now say, Spock now says, everybody now says, let's talk to the children and hope they see, and then they'll understand. No, God says, just tell them to obey, and then spank them, and then one day they will see. Okay? So without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must taste, then you will see it. God offers in Scripture, every time you read the Word of God, the Word of God is offering you something to taste.
Right.
Every time you get in Scripture, the Word of God in Scripture is trying to tell you something, taste this. And you look at it and say, I don't know about that. Oh, the Holy Spirit just stomped on my toes. I don't like that. But if you taste it, you'll find that the pea soup is actually really pretty good. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Now, I have tasted hominy, and no, it's not good, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I said this morning, all of the Christian life is faith. I said the Christian faith comes from hearing God's word. I said without faith, it is impossible, absolutely impossible to please God. And then your faith must be in the right place. It has to be in the right place, okay? It's not a, listen to me. See, this is the problem with work salvation. You're putting your faith in yourself.
Right.
In Christ, he never sinned.
That's right. Amen.
Because he never sinned, that means he cannot lie.
Right.
If he cannot lie and he says he gives me a free gift, if I accept it, that I'll get to go to heaven, then I know because he cannot lie, he must keep his end of the bargain. So I have faith, not in myself because I'm a sinner, But I have faith in someone who did not sin. So your faith must be in the right place. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, I know I keep going to kids because I'm dealing with those right now. But anyway, I'm not talking about my kids. I'm dealing with different things going on. But it amazes me how many people will go take their kid to the doctor and obey the doctor. But when the doctor gets up and tells you from Scripture, this is what the Word of God says, it's, nah, I don't want to listen to that.
Right.
But I'll go to somebody who spent $100,000 for or $200,000 or $300,000 for a medical degree and had some wisdom from the world sign off on it. And he'll say, take these pills, and you have no idea what's inside those pills, which means you have faith in someone you don't even know. And God's saying, why don't you just obey me and have faith in someone you do know? I've proven myself to you. God says, I've showed you what I can do. Just taste it. You say, well, I don't like that, Brother Buckley. The Word of God is, listen to me, is medicine.
Yes, amen.
You taste it, and then you'll see why you need it. Years ago, I got sick, and my dad decided to give me some DayQuil or NyQuil or something like that. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but it was awful. My mother put it in a spoon and put it in my mouth. And when she did, I choked and spit about half of it out. And my dad said, oh, that's not happening around here. He said, you're getting 2 spoonfuls now. So I got 2.5 spoonfuls. I was a druggie. But anyway, I got 2.5 spoonfuls. My dad, like, you're going to take this, okay? It tasted awful. And listen to me, sometimes when you read the Scripture, the Holy Spirit stomps on your toes, and it doesn't taste that good. But if you obey, the joy comes in the morning. As you obey in faith, you get better. Not for heaven. Listen to me. Not for heaven. That's already paid for. But you get, listen to me. This is the sad thing about stagnating as a Christian. You stagnate as a Christian at salvation. Listen to me carefully. You stagnate as a Christian at salvation. Yes, you're going to go to heaven, but you will have nothing to lay down at Jesus' feet. The one who died for you, paid for every one of your sins, who lived for you, who came down from God the Father and went through an excuse. The Bible said you couldn't even, when you looked at him, you could not even tell he was a man.
Right.
He did all that for you, and you're going to stand there in line and say, well, yeah, he did that, but I don't have anything to give him. Why? Because you didn't live by faith. You know, listen to me. It's not what you do that gets you a reward in heaven. And thank God for that. It's faithfulness. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, Brother Buckley, I don't have a lot to offer. Listen to me very carefully. There's a story in Scripture about a little boy. He only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he gave it to God. And 5,000 to probably 25,000 people were fed. Peter didn't have much. In fact, he denied Christ 3 times. But he was a righteous man who fell down and got back up. And because he got back up, 3,000 people were added to the church on the day of Pentecost. Over David. David was just a young teenager. A teenager, not a grown man. A teenager, not of war. A teenager. And he goes out and says, that man's cursing God. What's wrong with you brothers? Y'all get up. Why aren't y'all going over there taking care of that guy right there? And they said, shut up. Go back home and take care of the sheep. He said, well, I can't do that. I can't do that. He said, did you hear what that guy just said about God? Did you hear what he just said? We can't have that. Why aren't y'all doing anything? He said, I've killed a bear and a lion. God helped me do that. He said, and they said, you don't even have a spear. You don't even have a sword. I don't need it. God can use anything. So, Brother Buckley, I don't have much to offer. Don't need much to offer. God just wants you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Clean up your life. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart for God. Let God use you, and God will take what you have and multiply. So I don't have a lot of talents, Brother Buckley. Do you realize in Scripture when it talks about the talents you have? 2 talents, 5 talents, and 10 talents. The one with 10 went out and used his talents and God doubled the talents. The one with 5 talents went out and used his talents for the Lord and God doubled the talents. The one with 2 went and hid his. God says, I can't use that. Do you know what the one with five did? He lived by faith. So, Brother Oakley, I could never teach a Sunday school class. Yes, you can. Brother Oakley, I could never go and knock a door and speak to somebody and tell them about Jesus. Yes, you can. He said, well, I'd stand there and stutter. Well, you know what? You're with the best of them. Moses stuttered and God said he used him. The point is, God just wants you. He said, well, I don't know if I'll say the right things. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Every time, most every time I preach, I say, Dear Heavenly Father, help me say those things I should and keep my mouth shut where I should. All we are vessels. That's it. Who are supposed to live by faith. God, take my little and use it for whatever you want. Your faith must be in the right place. Luke chapter 1. I've got to hurry. Luke chapter 1. And let's look at verse number 37, if you would, please. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing. How many things?
Nothing.
How many things?
Nothing.
Nothing shall be impossible. The Bible says over in the book of Philippians, I can do what?
All things.
Well, that's not you who's doing it, though. It says, I can do all things through what?
Christ.
Brother Oak, I could never do. You're exactly right. You can never do.
Right.
I don't think I could be used. You're exactly right. You can't. But God can.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled for 9 months, literally 9 months, about being a pastor. I went to school, said I was always going to be an assistant pastor. I was going to be the same as my dad. My dad's been an assistant pastor for 30 years. My dad is my hero. I'm going to do what my dad did. I'm going to be assistant pastor. All I'm going to be is an Aaron. You can be her. Okay? I'm going to be an Aaron. Okay? And I'm going to hold up the man of God's hands. I hope y'all got that. Okay? Aaron and her in the scripture. I'm not a her. He's a her. I'm an Aaron. Okay? I said, I'm just going to hold up the man of God's hands. I went to work for a man and did my best to hold up his hands. But the Lord started working on my heart and I kept telling, nope. He can't be calling me. I can't do this. You're exactly right. Like I said at the beginning, somebody asked me, are you nervous? I'm nervous you'll leave without the truth of God. That's what I'm nervous about. That's what I'm nervous about. You've got to get the truth. You know why people leave churches? Because they're not in the book. And they quit tasting. Backsliding, listen to me, is when you stop tasting. Backsliding is when you quit trusting that book right there.
Yes.
He said, Brother Buckley, you don't understand. I've got a relative, and if I do what the scripture says, I'm going to lose my relative. I'm standing here right now, and I'm telling you, I have.
Right.
But you got to live by the book. Faith. Your faith must be in the right place. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto what? Thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So taste it, and guess what you'll see? You'll see why you did it that way.
Yes.
And you say, well, Brother Oakley, I've tasted some of the things in Scripture, and I still don't understand. Well, you know what? Then when you get to heaven, you will. You will. But I can tell you this, more often than not, if you'll just obey Scripture, you'll get the point.
Amen.
You'll figure it out. Lastly, look at Psalms chapter 9. Y'all like that, lastly, huh? Psalms chapter number 40. I know my people do. I say lastly. But if you'll look at the books that Paul wrote in Scripture, he said that lots of times. He went like four more chapters, okay? So,
man.
Yes. Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. And let's look at verse number 3. Psalms chapter 40, verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now, listen to me very carefully. When you trust Christ as your Savior, the Bible talks about you get a new song. And for that matter, you shouldn't be singing the old songs. Okay? What goes on the radio is not right with God.
Right.
Okay? How many of you believe? Okay, now I'm preaching to myself, okay? How many of you believe? I used to listen to country music, okay? I just told you my sins, okay? Used to listen. But how many of you believe that adultery is okay? Anybody? Country music does.
Right.
How many of you believe it's okay to cuss? It's in country music. It's in country music.
Right.
How many of you believe it's okay to fornicate? What are you singing? The Bible says, when I trusted Christ my Savior, He gave me a new song in my heart.
Amen.
A new song. And praise to my God. Okay? Now this is what I'm getting at. As you live faith to faith, this is very important. As you trust Christ as your Savior, now you're going to heaven. And then you decide, you know what? I'm going to head on this Christian life and I'm going to live faith to faith. I'm going to quit living by sight. That's what the old man wants to do. I'm going to live faith to faith. So I take a step by faith and all of a sudden I see something. Do you know what happens when you see something? You get all excited. You get all excited and you go tell somebody else, you know what happened? I started tithing and God just, I mean, I can't believe it. It doesn't make sense. I couldn't pay my bills before and now. My wife and I tried to, when this was right after, we've always tithed. But when we first got married, preacher always said, live on a budget, live on a budget. You ought to live on a budget. Ours wouldn't add up. There was more going than there was coming. But the first fruits, the very first check was written to God. Very first one. Doesn't make sense, Brother Buckley. You're exactly right. But I got to the end of the month and all my bills were paid for. And I'm like, okay, I don't get this and it doesn't make sense, but God has poured out blessings. And you say, what are you getting at? There's a new song in your heart. There's joy and praise to your God. So as you live faith to faith, what happens is you get excited. So you go to church and you tell somebody, you know what happened this week? This is great. I saw something in Scripture and I obeyed God. And when I obeyed God, you know what He did? He blessed me. This is amazing. And what you're doing is teaching the younger Christians to follow me as I follow Christ. This is a joyful life. This is amazing. Because you know what happens to the younger Christians? They get discouraged because the family members do walk away. They get discouraged because their friends do walk away. And so as you say, look at the joy that I have right now. Did you see what happened, Brother Anthony? This is amazing. This is glorious. This is great. What God did, I did this in Scripture and God did this. And what happens is, as you live faith to faith, you run back to the book and say, what else does God say? Oh my goodness, He tells me to do this. That doesn't make sense, but He blessed me on this one, so I'm going to run out and do this. And you get all excited and you start praising God for what He's done.
Amen.
The wonderful thing, the difference between joy and happiness. Listen to me, this is very important. The difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is short term. Okay? I like guns. I like lots of guns, okay? And I have guns, okay? And I will go someplace and my wife will say, how many more do you need? Just this one more. And when I bring it home, just like the pair of shoes that she needs, but when I bring that gun home, okay, I'm so excited about that gun for about 1 week. And then I think, do you know what? There's another one right over here that I need that one. So I save up my money and I go get that one, and guess what? I'm happy for about a week. But there's a difference in joy. Brother Bush said that God gave us a building. He literally gave us a building. I was driving down the road. We were in a little bitty room, probably about the size of your, this is a fellowship hall right here, probably about the size of the fellowship hall. That God had paid for, and it was totally fine. It was totally fine. But I was looking for a place to house missionaries, and I kept driving around, and we ain't got a lot of money. So finally, one day I told the Lord, I said, Lord, housing missionaries does nothing for, we gain nothing from it other than joy, but we gain no money from it. In fact, we're spending money. So why are you not doing, what's going on? We drove by a church building. The grass was probably about that high. Literally, it was probably about that high. Sign was rotted and fallen down. And my wife and I stopped there. And I said, let's see. I said, we could turn an old church building into a missionary house. You know, it's got a bathroom. And we could take the baptistry and block it off, and you can take a bathtub in it. And he went to take a bath in it. And I said, you know, we could house missionaries in it. Well, we looked at the sign. There was nothing on the sign that gave a phone number. And I told my wife, I said, oh, man, there's no phone number right there. There's no phone number. And my wife said, look at the man's name. I did. On the sign, it said Nate Sertucci. 2 years prior, Nate Sertucci's sons, who were in their late 40s, early 50s, two of them walked in our doors. And I gave the plan of salvation at the end of the message. And one of them got saved and got baptized that day. I knew where his brother lived, and so I drove over to his brother, and we sat on his front porch for about an hour, 45 minutes or so, and we were talking, and finally I looked at him, and I said, Johnny, let me ask you a question. Did your dad pastor a Little Baptist church? He pastored right over here on 77? He said, yeah, he sure did. I said, what y'all going to do with those buildings? And he said, you can have them if you can figure out how to put them in your name. Now, I was trying to be very calm. So I was leaned back in the chair, and he said, one of those, was it called an Adirac? Whatever. Any of those chairs that make you uncomfortable? Anyway, I was sitting in one of those, and I sat up in the chair, and I'm thinking, be calm. He said, you could have it. And I said, well, can I get the keys to go look at it? He said, yeah, Mom's got the keys. He said, I'll have to go get them. But yeah, he said, give me a couple days. This is the only time in my life I've ever broke in someplace. But I went by the church, used my knife, and got in the building. We walked in the building. Don't you? What's that?
Deacon.
Yeah, that's right. Like I'm saying, the grass was probably that high. But we walked in the church building, and the church building was literally, as if someone had left all the Sunday schools totally set up. Every PA system still sitting where it was, everything was still sitting there. Everything was in perfect condition. It was like they had just walked out the door, locked the door, and walked away. So we definitely figured out how to get it in our name. Now, my point is this. That's almost 3 years ago. Now, I just spent 3 minutes talking about it, and I could stand here and talk about it for an hour.
Yes, sir.
Because the little piece I told you is not the whole thing. But the thing is, I still have joy from telling it. The item that I buy gives me happiness for just a moment. But living by faith and going to God and saying, God, we can't afford this. And then God turns around and says, I'll just give it to you. I'll hand it to you. We have no debt. We have no debt whatsoever. Somebody just gave us a fellowship hall. We moved it on the property and we're totally renovating the fellowship hall from the monies that God is providing for us. And you say, well, that's just amazing, but that's coincidence. It's not coincidence. It's living faith to faith. And as I live faith to faith, I get to go around and say, let me tell you about our church building. Because when I pull up in the church building and say, I'm 100% for sure God gave it to us. So I get to retell it. You notice in Scripture, when David said in Scripture, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He never said, restore unto me my salvation. He had sinned with Bathsheba, and he had, listen to me, sin's fun for a time. It was fun to sin with Bathsheba. He paid with that child with Bathsheba. And then he didn't just pay with that. He paid with Absalom. He paid with Absalom's sister. He paid with Amnon, Absalom, who Absalom killed. He paid a lifetime for that sin. And when he went back to God, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. What he's saying is, I need to go back to the book and start following the book again. And then I have something to talk about and praise God for constantly over and over and over and over and over again.
Amen.
That's what's so wonderful about living by faith. The joy doesn't wear out.
Right.
I can go, listen to me, I can go to my gun closet, pull something out and say, I don't even remember when I bought that. Not getting rid of it, but I don't remember when I bought that. But I can go to my closet of faith, and I can tell you the dates. I can tell you when it happened. I can tell you when people got saved. Why? Because the joy doesn't wear out. It just keeps happening over and over again. You get to relive it. They said, Rob Oakley, Christian life is so mundane, it's so terrible. Well, you know what? We do have heartaches, but it's not mundane and it ain't terrible. There's joy. It's exciting. Why is it exciting? Because I went to the book. And that doesn't make sense, God. But you know what? At 5 years old, I trusted you for my salvation. So I'm going to trust you in this right here. So hand it to me. Oh, that looks terrible. Wow, that's amazing. That tastes absolutely... Try this, Brother Anthony. You need to try this. This is amazing. That is just hey, brother, you've got to try this. This is amazing. The Christian life is going around saying, this is absolutely amazing. You just got to try it. That's why it's sad when a Christian does not follow God, because the world looks at that Christian and says, well, if that's what you get, I sure don't want it.
Amen.
I don't want it. But if you live for God and live faith to faith, the world looks and says, you know what? They're just different. They got something I don't have. They're crazy, but boy, I'd like to be crazy with them. That's just amazing. Your pastor, listen to me, spends a lifetime trying to teach you to taste. Every time he gets up and says, turn in your Bible, he is saying, here's a plate full. Would you eat this? And you say, you just made me mad. Yep, he just made the natural man mad. You know, when you get mad, all you're proving is you didn't read your Bible this morning. You didn't walk with God this morning. Because when you walk with God and the pastor says, this is good medicine right here, and you're like, God, but I walked with God this morning, so I know that's right. And you take it, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, I feel better. That's why when you miss church, it's so bad. Because you missed a truth. You missed a taste. It's amazing to me. See, I've been married 23 years, and I do not look the same as what I did. I used to have hair. But I don't look the same as what I did 23 years ago. My wife cooks too good. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, okay? I'm not the only one in here, their wife cooks good, okay?
Man.
So, wife cooks too good. But you know, I never miss a meal. I never miss a meal. Get up in the morning, time to eat. Lunchtime, time to eat. Supper time to eat. Let's eat. And everybody's so, it's so important to get the physical food. When we throw off that book right there, and what happens is it sits there on the coffee table or beside the bed all week long till it's time to go to church on Sunday, and we wonder why we're grumpy or wonder why we're not happy or wonder why we walk in and want everybody to take care of us instead of, see, the Christian life is serving others. So we want everybody to take care of us instead of taking care of other people. But the closer you get to God, the more you'll realize, when I come to church, I'm too happy. I just, hey, you're down. You look down. Come sit by me. Boy, I had a great week. You think, well, he had no heartache this week. Yes, he did. You know what amazes me? That when I walk into the pulpit, everybody expects the pastor to be topside. But what you don't understand, and this goes for your pastor too, he's been back in his prayer closet with tears running down his eyes. His heart is broken. He has heartaches just like you do. But he gets in that book. And as he gets in that book, he gets so excited. He comes up here and says, let me tell you about the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
Live faith to faith.
Brother.
Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. The first thing you have to know is, do you have enough faith to get saved? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? I'm unashamed of that question. You'd say, preacher, if I died today, I know 100% sure I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know for sure I'd be in heaven if I closed my eyes in death today. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. You'd say, preacher, I don't know that for sure. I'll not call your name. I'll not come to you. I'll not embarrass you. You say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. It just doesn't make sense yet. But I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I need. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, many, many hands. Thank you. You can put them down. God says, taste and see. Understanding always follows obedience. You don't understand to obey, you obey to understand. we have to obey God, then we'll find out later why. That's the battle of the flesh. We want to be God. We want to understand it all and decide what we do and what we don't do. God says, taste and then see. If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in baptism, we could take care of that today. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you come. We'll take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join our church, you come. Maybe God's tugged at your heart today. Some of you need to start tasting. How about you come kneel at an old-fashioned altar? Start tasting of the goodness of God today.